It's my new obsession. Yeah, think it's not even a question. Think on the lips of your lover. Cause think is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning. You're listening to the Marilyn York Show. Welcome back. I'm sorry I missed you guys last week, and we replayed a plastic surgery show. And for those of you who listened, I hope you enjoyed it. We are back live today in the studio. If you'd like to call in, it's 823-1920. Today, we also have the Facebook up on the page. Like I told you guys, we're going to be doing every week now. So if you are a fan on the Marilyn York Show Facebook fan page, you can post your questions and comments during the show, and us cutting edge animals will read them on the air, unless they're horrible, and then I'll turn them into something good and make fun of you. You can also get on the MarilynYorkShow.com website anytime and listen to past shows and post your questions and email questions there as well. Today's guest, welcome to the studio, Cheryl Irwin, marriage and family therapist.
Good morning, Marilyn.
Thanks for coming in. As you guys heard on the promo, we answer marriage, divorce, relationship questions. I am not a marriage and family therapist. I just malpractice in it. And so today we actually have someone credentialed for a change with some valid relationship advice to give you. What a concept. So call in at 823-1920 and ask legitimate questions and get legitimate answers today. Don't expect me not to mimic in the background, though, jerk style as usual. But I think today we're going to talk primarily about kids and divorce and parenting issues in general. But you guys can steer us off course at any time because you're the boss of me today for this 1 hour. And you can ask Cheryl anything you want. But I'm going to talk to her about kids and divorce because I know she happens to be quite well respected in that particular area. And she's also a parenting coach and has written a number of books on the subject. What are the books you have written, Miss Irwin, if you'll tell everyone?
Several books in the Positive Discipline series with Jane Nelson.
Okay.
And then the Everything Parents Guide to Raising Boys.
Whoa.
Which I am currently revising and should be back out again in the fall.
I should have that in my office due to my man-loving habits. I did not know that, but that's an interesting
book. Unfortunately, it stops at about 22, so I don't know how helpful it would be.
I haven't met a man that's aged beyond 12, so that's going to work out for me. Can I use that on my husband, even though he's over, you know,
22? I probably shouldn't offer an opinion on that since I actually have adult men in my own family.
All right.
They might take it personally.
Well, we can exclude them and just talk about my husband then. 823-1920, if you guys want to call. Let's talk about the best age for children and parents to get divorced, because I often have these people come in my office and they say, I've stayed in a marriage, you know, so until my kids were grown, for example, and then I got divorced. And I have certain opinions that I just pull out of the sky in my malpractice therapy world about certain ages that handle divorce better from their parents versus other age groups. And while it's never ideal, I understand, I think there probably are certain ages where they notice it less maybe and are too young to realize. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
You know, every family and every child is so unique. And actually, what the research is telling us is that what determines how a child reacts to anything is a combination of what goes on around that child and then what the child decides or believes about what they're seeing, which adults actually have absolutely no control over.
Absolutely.
So what the straight research says is that children 5, 6, 7, mostly boys, are the ones who have the toughest time, followed closely by teenagers. But, you know, as I am a divorced person, just so that everybody out there knows that, my son grew up with step families and single parents and all of that good stuff, and is a fine and upstanding young person today who holds a job and is not financially dependent on his mother, which I am very grateful for. And I actually like him, and I think he likes me. But
unfortunately, for those of you who don't know Cheryl, he did become a lawyer, and I cannot condone such job profession choices.
Yes, he did. So I always tease people that I'm a failure as a parent because I did, in fact, raise an attorney. But
we like you nonetheless, and we like him because law is good.
Law is good, but he's safely out of town, so doesn't have to deal with his mother on a daily basis.
Or listen to us.
but back to the subject. You know, I would love to, there is such a thing, I believe, as a good divorce, meaning that you can do it in a way that does less damage to children. But the reality is that if parents divorce, there's no way around the fact that it's going to have an impact on kids.
What is a good divorce? Give us a protocol for that so that my clients who are doing things badly can listen and stop doing it.
Well,
and me.
You know, if people could get along beautifully, they wouldn't be getting divorced.
Sure.
So there's this built-in problem in that you're probably divorcing your partner because you have major differences or you argue or whatever it is that's happened.
Unless you're that rare couple that just doesn't, is detached from one another and leaves because there's a lack of emotion.
And that can happen too. And I have worked with families where divorced partners became best friends and in fact took vacations together and visited each other's homes. I think that's incredibly rare. It's also not necessary. I suppose, excuse me, the most important ingredient in a quote-unquote good divorce is respect. And being able to have enough self-discipline and self-control that you don't say the things that always pop to the tip of your tongue, particularly in the presence of your children.
I always see these clients that do it, both sides, mine and the other side, who talk crap to the children about their other parent. I always think, you moron, that is half their gene pool. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't like them, that is, you're insulting half your kid, especially when it's like looks-based, for example, and the little girl looks just like her mom. Then it feels like 100% of an insult. It's unbelievable.
And kids absolutely know that.
They know
that you're insulting half of who they are.
And their love for a parent that they should love.
You know, the thing that's amazing about kids is that they can really see their parents very clearly. I see children as clients, and I often see them without their parents in the room. And kids are pretty clear-eyed about who mom and dad are, and they can tell me, you know, dad doesn't keep his promises, or mom's kind of flaky, and they still love them, and they still want to have a good, solid relationship with them. And the thing that we do know is that kids do best, barring, of course, abuse or neglect in either home, when they are allowed open and equal access to both parents, and not being asked to choose, and not having to listen to one parent talk crap, about another
parent.
We can
say crap.
Can we say that? Okay,
I didn't know. We can even say other words. I won't tell you yet.
And the thing is that's difficult is that parents have strong feelings. And I think when your marriage is ending, there's a very natural desire to have your child love you and continue to want to be with you and sometimes to kind of be on your side.
I do see that. There's like a competition where they're super insecure, particularly if a parent got left by the other parent. They feel competitive and insecure, and they need their child to validate that someone still loves them when their spouse does not.
Well, and it's,
and they make that mistake from a good place, but it hurts their child.
Well, and there's also the fact that economics for one parent or the other often changes. And so parents will worry, if I don't have as much money or as nice a home or as great a neighborhood or school as the other parent, is my child still going to want to spend time with me? And the answer is pretty much always yes. But both of those.
But you have to talk to them. You can't bring them over and sit them in front of the TV, you know, and ignore them, or no TV if you don't have one. Like, you need to actually engage in your child's life, and then it won't matter what you have.
The most important element of parenting is connection, period. It's relationship.
Yeah.
So you can do a lot of things that fall into that category. There really isn't a recipe, and there isn't a right or wrong. All parents and all kids will kind of invent their own relationship, but you do have to have one.
Cheryl, you're quite popular. All of our lines are busy, and I'm making these people sit. So Christy, let's talk to you. Christy, do you have a question or comment for the show?
I do. I'm one of those people that had the perfect divorce. We were best friends to start with, but it's gone terribly bad in the last couple of years.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That's usually the opposite of what happens.
Yeah, I know.
Is there a new girl in the mix? That's what often...
Yep. It was the new wife.
Yeah.
She didn't like the friendship. And so now I haven't spoken to him in 2 years.
You have kids together?
Yes. I have a 10-year-old son, and he has to go to his father's every other weekend, and then he spends 9 weeks there in the summer. And I took him back to court, basically just to mediation last summer, in order for us to get the summer schedule in place. And then
does he live out of town or something, the dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we were ordered in mediation for him to call me every other Friday just to check in and talk about our son and to make
plans. Oh, the dad?
Yeah, to make plans for the weekends and the summers. And I've never heard from him since.
Do you guys have like a email communication option out there? Because a lot of times I find in writing people are, you can document it too.
We used to, but then the ex-wife or the new wife was intercepting the emails. And so he wasn't getting those either. And so that's why the court or the mediator said, no, you need to call her every other Friday so that she knows she's talking to you.
Oh, that makes sense.
Nothing's worked out, and I'm facing summer coming up. I haven't talked to him now, and you know, since mediation once last year, and then overall, I haven't spoken to him in over 2 years. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm just sending my son off without any communication with his father. I don't even feel like it's very safe to do that.
Have you tried calling him?
Yeah, I call, and he refuses to talk to me, and he'll hang up.
I can give you the legal answer, and then perhaps Cheryl can tell you more from a therapist standpoint what might help encourage it. From a legal answer, you can file an order to show cause to hold him in contempt of court for not following the mediator's recommendation, which I am certain became a court order after that, because they always make sure their recommendations are orders. So it's now a court order. If he doesn't follow it, you may want to warn him in one email and say, look, the court order requires you to call every other Friday. I haven't heard from you in a year. My son's about to go see you. I suggest you get on the phone with me, or I'm going to file a motion to withhold your visitation, because you rightfully have reason to be uncomfortable about your son going away to some place you haven't heard from.
So can I not allow him to go there this summer?
No, you have to send him unless you change the court order before. So if you file a motion to suspend that summer visitation and say, I haven't heard from him in a year and I'm uncomfortable, please drag him into court, Your Honor, and have him explain what's going on at that house and, make me comfortable. Okay. You can certainly do that, but I would do it as soon as possible, because the courts are not designed to do things on an expedited basis. You would know. So...
Yeah,
so you absolutely can. Now, Cheryl, I'm sure, has advice that might actually help the situation instead of just the legal ramifications.
Well, it's tough. Your name is Christy, right?
Yes.
So what sense is your son making of this? What does he say?
He doesn't want to go there anymore. I mean, his father, I even got my son a cell phone, knowing that his father doesn't want to call me to even ask for him. And he never hears from his father, except for the weekends that he goes there. If his father decides not to pick him up on a weekend, he'll go an entire month without hearing from his father even once. So he doesn't want to go anymore. I keep telling him, you need to go, and I'm one of those people that refuses to badmouth him no matter how horrible he is.
Which does pay off, by the way.
I know.
As hard as it is,
it's
the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do, but I feel horrible. He cries every time he has to go. He doesn't want to spend his entire summer away from his friends here.
Well, I think Marilyn is right in that you have to deal with the legal part of this, because right now he is required to go. But he is approaching an age, and this varies in my experience from community to community, where his wishes and his opinions should begin to factor into whether or not he has to do that. Well, there's no set age.
The statute says when they are of a sufficient age and maturity to state a preference. In our court system, I know that 13 and up is safe. I have had kids as young as 9 have their opinions considered. If there is a therapist involved, like someone like Cheryl, in between, we get younger opinions in through a therapeutic environment, and then the therapist is the one that actually communicates to the court. That's an easier, better environment to do it in, and then you have a professional telling you this is a valid opinion and not them just spouting off.
The other part of this, to see a therapist, my son. Well, you can do that, and that's not advice I can give over the phone, because I don't know you, Christy, and I don't know your son.
Okay.
But having someone sit down with the two of you and talk about what's going on and the impact it's having on your boy's life, and then making a decision based on that. The other concern that I would have simply as a mom is the security issue. This is not an environment that you have any personal knowledge of. You've got a new wife who apparently doesn't like you and restricts contact, and I would be curious how she would respond to your son. So the other option I can think of is getting someone in that community, a mediator, a social worker, a therapist involved, so that if he does have to go to his dad, there's someone there to kind of run interference and give him a safe place to talk. So there are a lot of things you could consider, but I think if you want to change this over the long haul, I think Marilyn's right. You have to address the legal issues here.
Thanks for calling, Christy.
Thank you.
We have to take a break in a moment, and Ashley and Jenny are holding on the line. If you guys sit tight, we will get to you after the break. And the number for those of you who want to call in, 823-1920, there is a line free now that we finished that call, and we'll talk to you guys after the break.
Join Bird Ramos for The Balance Report, the voice of reason, a program of civility, respect, and independent thinking. Bring balance to your world, Saturday at noon on Fox News 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon, with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to Exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Are you a professional single interested in dating but can't seem to find the time? Your professional life is planned out and organized, but your dating life is random, out of control, or completely non-existent? Hi, I'm Jennifer, owner of It's Just Lunch. Maybe it's time you give us a call. Because at It's Just Lunch, we're like your personal assistant. We'll conduct a confidential, in-depth interview to discover the type of person you're looking for in a partner. Then we'll personally select your date based on the information from your interview. There's nothing random about our selection. Once we select your match, we'll make a reservation for either lunch or drinks after work. All of this is done by a real person and not a computer. Your professional life is well planned and successful. Let It's Just Lunch plan your dating life, because your success is our success. If you call today, you'll receive a free professional consultation. Call 852-1001. That's 852-1001. I'm Jennifer, and I'm looking forward to your call.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
Ever notice that we're becoming a smaller is better society? TVs are thinner, our cell phones are tiny, and if you want better fuel efficiency, you drive a CSX freight train. A train that moves one ton of goods 436 miles on a single gallon of fuel. And since CSX is constantly improving fuel efficiency, that number will keep growing. Maybe smaller isn't always better. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Fox 1270.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and let's give a shout out to Dell, as usual, for her music choice. The Hey Jude song was chosen by her in light of this topic that we're talking about, and apparently in 1968, it was written by Paul McCartney for John Lennon, because John Lennon and his wife, Cynthia Lennon, separated, and they had a child, and as you know, he had an affair with Yoko Ono, and the son, Julian, was very distraught by the divorce, and so the McCartney wrote it for him, and it was originally titled Hey Jules. And apparently he states, I started with the idea of Hey Jules, which was Julian, don't make it bad, take a sad song and make it better. Hey, try to deal with this terrible thing. I knew it was not going to be easy for him. I always felt sorry for kids in divorces. I had the idea for the song by the time I got there. I changed it to Jude because I thought it sounded better. Very sweet. And as Dell pointed out earlier, he perhaps should have written a song for his own kid when he got divorced from the fake leg lady. So anyway, we are back on, and Ashley's been waiting a while. Ashley on line two, what do you got to contribute, Ashley? You want to tell us something about a parent or ask a question?
Sure. I'm from a single parent household, and my parents got divorced when I was like a baby, and I've never met my dad.
Uh-huh.
And my mom doesn't really talk about him.
Do you ever ask her questions about him?
I try to, and she's kind of, like, she shuts down about the subject.
Is it something you have a curiosity about?
Well, of course. I mean, like, he's my dad.
Do you know if she still has contact with him?
No.
No, he doesn't. She doesn't have contact with him?
No, he gave up all parental rights to me, so, like, I've never met him. Like, I don't know anything about him.
So what's your question? Do you want to be able to ask more questions? Do you want Cheryl to give you some ideas on how to talk to your mom about it better?
Yeah, and, like, when we moved, I found their wedding pictures in the garage, and, like, she caught me looking at them.
Did you look like him? I always wonder that. Did he look like you do? Or do you look like your mom?
I think I look like my mom.
Well, that's good. Nothing wrong with looking like mama.
She, like, took him away, and I don't know what she did with him, and... like, it'd kind of be nice to look at those, you know.
You know, one of the things that's a problem sometimes is when a relationship is painful or difficult for a parent, and the parent needs not to have to deal with it any longer, but you have a child who has a very appropriate and normal curiosity about who is this person that's half of who I am. By the way, kids who are older than 18 have every right to go on their own and investigate and look at the records and find out who people are. But I wonder if you sat down as two adults with your mom and just said, you know, time has passed and I'm really curious and I respect your need for privacy, but would it be okay with you if I asked you some questions and found out what I need to know for my own sake? There are some other reasons for doing this, and this is true of kids, by the way, who've been adopted also, is that there can sometimes be medical issues and family history issues that can affect somebody growing up, and there are good reasons to know where you came from.
I often have parents in my office, Ashley, and they just assume that kids don't have an interest when they don't ask questions. And while you said over the years you've made some inquiries, you know, if it's over a span of 10 years and you've asked two or three times, your mom may think you don't have an interest or a curiosity, so it may come as news to her that you're interested. So I would sit down and tell her that, and she'll probably be more comfortable sharing that information knowing that you actually want to know it. We'll tell her if she's listening on the show. Thanks for calling in, Ashley.
Uh-huh.
Jenny, on line 3, what's your question?
Hi,
Marilyn. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Ashley almost made me cry.
I know, sweet darling.
I have a long question. I'm finding myself in a situation that I'm really not used to or comfortable with. I myself am divorced, and I have successfully co-parented with the father of my children for about 20 years. I am engaged with a man, and we're going to be married, and unfortunately he doesn't have that type of situation or co-parenting relationship with his ex.
How many kids does he have with his ex?
He has 2 children.
Is it a newer divorce or separation that he's going through?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How new?
The divorce was finalized in November, December.
Okay. And how long have they been separated?
They were separated for over a year.
Okay. Because just so that Cheryl knows, because I know that there are certainly differences when it's new versus the, you know, 20-year span that you've learned to cope over.
True.
So what's your question?
My question is during the course of the last year or so, I've seen his children go through a lot of emotional turmoil. I have tried to keep things pretty normal here because of my experience with co-parenting and always putting the children before my own needs. But on the other side, it seems like she is so, what is it, focused on revenge that she's losing sight of what is best for the children. And by this, I mean the kids have been subjected to, like, CPS visitation, interviews with local law enforcement because mom has made false claims of abuse. They've been to see a therapist, which we actually, you know, were very supportive of, but then mom didn't get what she wanted from the therapist, so she voluntarily stopped taking the children.
What about co-parenting therapy? Are your ex and her ordered to go to co-parenting therapy, having nothing to do with the kids being involved directly in the therapy process, for them to learn how to co-parent better?
Well, unfortunately, when they went through their divorce, her attorney and her said absolutely no way to mediation or any type of, you know, situation that would bring the two parents together.
Well, the judge is actually in charge, so I would suggest that you start with a motion to the court asking for co-parenting therapy, and then Cheryl has some comments in that regard.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, one of the things that's so difficult about co-parenting is that there are the things you can control directly and the things you have absolutely no influence over.
Mm-hmm.
So you and your fiancé can influence and have some control over what happens in your own home with both your children and his.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot control what she chooses to do outside of the legal avenues that Marilyn was talking about. But what's interesting is that what the research is telling us is that when kids have even one parent, one environment, one consistent, reliable, trustworthy adult who's giving them what they need, a solid relationship and a listening ear and encouragement, they actually do pretty well. How old are his children?
One is 6 and one is 5.
Yeah, you know, it's you can certainly take them to therapy on your own. You would need her consent, or at least to inform her that you were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And therapists like me have an obligation to work with both parents, and sometimes that can be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that benefits children, and it's not like, oh, all kids need to run to therapy. That's not what I'm saying. But the thing about therapy in a situation like this is the therapist is not mom or dad, which makes it a safe place to talk about your feelings. Or kids often protect parents, believe it or not. They don't want them to worry. They don't want them to be hurt. They don't want a whole lot of stuff. And so they keep a lot inside. When you have an outside adult who can listen, sometimes children have an opportunity to say, this is how I'm feeling, this is how this is affecting me, and this is what I might need. So that's a suggestion that I might need. The other thing is take a parenting class.
Okay.
If you can't do that together, then read the same parenting book and send her a copy and say, obviously you can't make her read it or do it, but just say, here's what we're trying to do in our household. We thought we would let you know, and see what she does with it.
Okay.
And it will get better over time, usually. I mean, some women hold fast to that vindictiveness, but a lot of times that's just a product of the instantaneous or just after the separation. So keep your fingers crossed that she'll come to her senses later.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, and good luck with that.
Oh, thank you, Marilyn.
Lisa, on line one, you've been waiting a while, Lisa. What's your question or comment?
Question is, just starting this process.
Okay.
And wanting to know, he closed our accounts, our joint accounts.
Okay.
But then now he wants counseling.
He wants counseling to stay married?
I don't know.
I hope he's paying for it if he closed your accounts. I would protect yourself financially first. If you have any interest in counseling, I always encourage it. Certainly divorce is the last resort, not the first resort. But unfortunately, if you don't have a court babysitting the financial issues, a therapist can't make him give you any money. And if you need the money, you need a divorce court to make him share the income and open the accounts or give you a certain amount of spousal support or child support if that's what you need. So if he's interested in counseling, he should make a good faith showing of not starving his wife. That would be my first recommendation for him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if he's not willing to be reasonable and make sure you have the financial support you need, then you need to file a divorce or a legal separation to get the court's authority to take care of you financially first. Obviously, counseling is a good thing for you guys to do. I encourage it maybe even more than Cheryl does. I really do, and I do for people separating as much as I do for people that are staying together, because the separation, particularly with kids involved, can really be benefited by having a therapeutic person involved. Divorce attorneys make it worse. Divorce courts make it worse. As much as some of us try not to, we make it worse.
And kids hate the fighting. They often perceive the whole process as fighting. So being able to keep things somewhat calm. And when two people are passionately separating the way they often are,
mm-hmm.
it can take an outside mediator to give some structure to the process and to kind of keep a lid on things. And that benefits children in the long run.
Do you guys have children together, Lisa?
We have a 4-year-old boy.
Yeah, so I would encourage the process, like I said, even if it doesn't succeed in patching up the marital differences, it'll still help the transition on the exit be a little better. I love to use therapists like Cheryl to say, you know, how do I tell my kids, you know, how should we tell our kid together? How should
right.
I, you know, talk to him about it? How do I tell him I'm not interested in staying married, if that's your answer?
Well, there are two reasons why couples go to see a therapist.
Okay.
One is to figure out how to repair the relationship and make it better. And honestly, the other is to figure out how to come apart without tearing everyone to pieces. And both are an appropriate goal, I think. So if you get two people who will come in and sit down and say, we have a 4-year-old,
yeah.
we don't want him to suffer, and we
right.
really don't want to damage each other, what is the best way to do this? And there are therapists, there used to be parenting classes for people going through the process. There are lots of resources and materials on the web and in the bookstores. Mm-hmm. And you might want to look into that and see what you can find that would help you approach this the right way.
There is a good class in town that the court orders you to go to for divorce and its effect on kids. So that's a really good course as well. I think Children's Cabinet provides that class.
And then statistically, if you do go to therapy, and at least I've looked at it, it's not promising to save the marriage.
I think one of the best things I ever did, and I got divorced as a result, so don't think this may fix it, but Marriage Encounter is a weekend course that's mm-hmm. a religious-based course, and I'm not religious, but I went, and it was the Catholicism one I went through because my husband was. I thought it was really helpful because it's like a 24 or 48-hour saturation period where you're forced to be together and journal about your feelings, and I found out we had nothing in common, and we had no relationship, and that was the end of my marriage, so it was great for me. That's one concept that you could also look into besides therapy. It's therapeutic, but it's not traditional.
The reality about marriage, and I think everybody instinctively knows this, is that it really does take two people who are willing to work to make it work right. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one person who wants out and it's done.
We have a break coming up, so thanks for calling,
thanks.
Lisa, and good luck to you.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you guys after the break, 823-1920.
Who's on your SNIT list? Todd Schnitt's list is growing every day. Listen live weekdays at noon. The Schnitt Show on Fox News Radio 1270.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
You know you want to quit smoking. Well, you can do it in just a few steps. All you need is a little motivation.
Get ready.
First, set a date to quit.
Get medicine.
Talk to your doctor about medicines that can help you.
Get help.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free service that can help you get started. Or go to ahrq.gov/consumer for more information about quitting.
You can quit smoking.
A few easy steps that'll help save your life. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and we have Cheryl Irwin in here, who is quite popular. Cheryl, you're like the prom queen, because we have
oh, good,
a lot
for
of
for the
calls.
First time in my life. That's good.
Grace, we're going to get to you in one sec, so sit tight. But it seems you are popular with the women calling in. But let's talk about therapy and men as a concept, because on Facebook, I announced that you were coming on, and I titled you Local Therapist and Parenting Coach and Published Author. And one male in particular, Robert, made a comment on Facebook, and it was funny, but it goes to sort of the attitude of men sometimes. And he said, man, that's pretty bad if you need a parenting coach. You shouldn't even have kids if someone has to teach you how to be a parent. Not exactly the same thing, but I've always said that about dance lessons. If you need dance lessons, you are hurting for certain. I have to agree with Robert, except that I have no rhythm and dance lessons cannot save me, but I hope parenting can, because I'm not a hero as a parent. So what's your thoughts on men and their attitude towards parenting, coaching, or therapy in general?
Well, you know, like women, men don't all have the same attitude or opinion.
Sure, of course.
But what's interesting about parenting, and this is a really deeply held cultural belief, is that you shouldn't have to ask anybody how to do it. It should be instinctive, and everybody should be good at it. And my experience is that's just simply not true. Sometimes what you learn growing up doesn't match the kid that you get. Sometimes it just isn't working as well as you would want it to. And the other thing that's changed over the last 10, 15 years is we have some pretty remarkable new research about how kids grow and learn. And I think wise parents want to do the best they can with that and take advantage of what we know. So what I always say, and I love the word parent coach, because it's like football coach or baseball coach. It's if you do something and you care about it and you want to get better at it, you learn all you can. So I will go take a golf lesson, even though so far it has not helped my score. One of these days I'm going to break 90. But I see people all the time, and many of them are men, who say, you know, the discipline thing isn't going well, or I think I overreacted to this, and are there any other ideas? And that's why I think parent coaching and parent classes can be really, really helpful. Not to tell people what to do, but simply to make suggestions and give them good ideas.
That's very much similar to Lydia, who responded to Robert's comment on my Facebook and said, well, the darn things don't come with an instruction manual, and they certainly don't test you for parental readiness before you have sex. So it follows that there are lots of people out there who haven't the slightest clue beyond the same dumbass things their own parents did. Thank goodness for people like Cheryl Irwin, which was very sweet. And very true and very similar to what Cheryl was just saying. And then Robert made a really good point in response, because he was still talking back, and said, exactly, lots of people out there haven't the slightest. They're not ready for children. They need some more living, and some more living with their partner, the way divorce is nowadays. Learn to be a team, a loving team, friends, good friends, before you take on this huge understated responsibility. God's greatest gift indeed, but chill till you're ready. Go ahead and throw me your questions. He said, don't treat children like children. Treat them equally and with respect.
I totally agree with Robert.
So well Robert said. Is quite insightful and is smart about waiting to you know, get married and have kids. But those of you who got pregnant in the back of a Chevy, sounds like you may need a parenting coach.
Well, and once they're there, you really can't send them back.
No, I've tried even this morning, and he doesn't fit.
He won't go.
He is too large to fit in my stomach. Grace, you've been waiting a long time. What's your question?
This is my situation. I am a single parent. My daughter is 9 years old, and she has not seen her father. I call him the biological sperm donor. since she was a month and a half old. She has no recollection of him or what it even means to have a mother and father team. She's got a very stable home. She's a very, very good child. I just want to know that not having that male figure later on in life, do you think that's going to psychologically screw her up? I mean,
can I field that one? It depends, Grace, on what she's deciding about it. Lots of kids.
She's totally okay with it. I guess more so you don't know what you're missing unless you've had it, and
Well, I would take a little bit of issue with that in that she has friends who have dads. She lives in a neighborhood where people have dads. She watches TV where people have dads. So she does, in fact, know that she doesn't have something that other people have.
Okay.
So I would guess, since I've had this conversation with a number of children, that she has opinions about this that she may, in fact, not be sharing with you. It doesn't mean she's not healthy and okay. It means that she may have questions. And could it affect her down the road? Well, sure, because the role modeling for love and trust and strength and gentleness from a man has not been present in her everyday life. So again, you can sit down with her and just periodically, not just once, but from time to time, say, you know, I'm really curious about this. What are you thinking? And make sure that she understands that she's not going to hurt your feelings or make you angry if she tells you the truth. Mm-hmm. There are sport coaches and teachers and youth leaders and pastors who can be great mentors for young women, or you can consider doing Big Brothers Big Sisters and asking that she have a man who could spend some time with her. There are a lot of things you could do if you thought it was necessary.
Are you in a relationship, Grace? Do you have a boyfriend or a husband now?
No.
Okay. Because that's also obviously another opportunity if you have a safe man in your life that can act as a parental role model or a brother or even somebody else's dad.
And safe is a really important word.
Yeah.
Like it or not, when single moms begin dating, the risk of danger to children does in fact go up statistically. So you have to be really careful who you introduce into your daughter's life.
Yeah. Well, she does. I mean, she does have male figures like my brother and my father, which she's very close to her
good,
papa.
Good. That's all she needs.
But I just didn't know if, like, I just didn't know if down the road she's going to, you know, go through 100 million relationships throughout her young adult life before she actually settles down because she never had a father.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Yeah.
But it sounds like, you know, same advice we gave to Ashley. Sit down and have a discussion with her, and maybe you should start that discussion and ask her questions just to make it an open topic would be a good place to start. But it sounds like she's lucky to have a great mama like you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks
you
for calling.
You have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. Thanks for calling. Speaking of getting divorced and how to break the news to your kids, we kind of talked about that topic briefly, but how do you suggest parents let their kids know? And does your answer change based on the age of the children?
Yeah, it does. And the maturity. Everything is not about age, by the way. Some 5-year-olds are more mature than some 12-year-olds.
We're going to take a break in a moment. And so when we come back, let's talk about that more. And you can give people advice on how to break the news, the unfortunate news, to their children. In the meantime, guys, one of the things that Cheryl had touched on was connecting to your children. One thing I always tell dads they can do, which is really sweet and something I did as a kid and I loved, was shopping with my dad and dressing up for my dad and buying a nice prom dress or a party dress. And girls love this. There's nothing like being told that you're beautiful by your dad. So Junkie Clothing is one of our sponsors, as you know, and they're at 960 South Virginia Street. This is a perfect place, dads, to take your daughters and play dress up, and it's super cheap, and you can buy them 5 ridiculous, fancy, frilly dresses, and it'll cost you like $20 because it's basically a consignment or thrift store. So 960 South Virginia, it's open every day, 11 to 7 p.m. It'll fit in any dad's schedule. You can take your sons, too, and play Groucho Marx or silly games and costume games. And this is a great connection option and very cheap. So get down there, and Jessica will even help you, who owns the store, if you can't do it on your own. We'll hear from you guys after the break. 823-1920.
You may love his politics, or not so much, but he'll let you talk about it. Michael Smirkanish, weekday mornings at 10 on Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Motor Transport Association. Trucks provide us with over 90% of our daily goods. Without trucks, we'd all be starving and naked. The trucks of today are safer than they ever have been. However, one of the biggest hazards on our roads concerning trucks is the no zone. Here's a good rule. If you can't see the driver's face in the truck's side view mirror, they can't see you. Also, trucks need nearly twice the time and room to stop as cars do, so don't cut in front too soon after passing. Look for the whole front of the truck in your rearview mirror before pulling in front. Then, don't slow down. The Nevada Motor Transport Association and Nevada's professional truck drivers are committed to making our roadways safer. Although drivers make many important stops during the day, delivering medicine to our hospitals, food and clothing to our stores, and munitions to our armed forces, they are just like you. Because the last stop of the day is the most important stop, when we all arrive safe at home.
For more information on trucks and their contribution to safer roads, visit our website at nmta.com.
Fox 1270.
Hush now, baby, baby, don't you cry. Mama's gonna make all of your nightmares come true. Mama's gonna put all of her fears into you. Mama's gonna keep you right here under her wing. She won't let you fly, but she might let you sing.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and that's a perfect song to segue into our How Do You Tell Your Children, because I do know on so many occasions that people inadvertently put their own fears into their children. And so as part of telling your children the bad news that your marriage is breaking up, how would you recommend that people avoid doing that, Cheryl?
Well, kids need to know from the beginning it is not about them. One of the things that happens, particularly with young kids, is they're what we call egocentric, which means they think everything is about them and they think everything is their fault. So it's really normal for kids to think dad left because I was bad last night, or mom is mad at daddy because I didn't do my homework. And you need to let them know from the beginning this isn't about them. So the ideal answer is you sit down together and tell them together respectfully and calmly, if you can manage that. And obviously, sometimes that's simply not possible. But if you can, that's the best way. And you give them an opportunity to ask questions and to let them know that as the process continues, they can come to you, either of you, at any time and ask questions. And again, you don't say it's your mom's fault. You don't say your dad is a jerk. You don't say, even if you believe it's true, even if it is true. Those are just things that are not helpful to kids.
When they ask you point blank, like teenagers or tweeners, as we call them, say, well, why'd you get divorced from daddy? Like, how do you recommend that you deal with that question honestly, but without giving them adult information that they don't need to worry about?
Well, and you just said it, the best answer is the truth, because kids are really good at picking up when they're not being treated honestly.
They probably know better than you why you got divorced.
They always know more than you think they do, and that is
because they watched.
They watched and they overhear.
Daddy and you never had sex, mommy.
Because
they say that.
But the thing is that they actually don't need. And most of the kids I talk to tell me they do not want the TMI. They don't want to know the intimate details of your relationship, and they don't want to hear nasty accusations about their other parent, even if they're true. And I really want to stress that.
Okay.
This is not about making stuff up. Sometimes what one parent has done really is bad. So you can give simple statements of fact about how you feel and what your thought process is. But it just is never helpful, particularly with younger kids, to trash one parent or the other, even if you believe you're being honest.
Yeah, that's good advice. Absolutely. And do you recommend people tell them together or separately?
If you can. And like I said, obviously, that's not always going to happen. And sometimes it's simply not possible because parents can't hold it together.
Or they can't sit in the same room together.
If one parent or the other tells, you should not, by the way, announce this on Facebook. I have seen that happen.
Yeah, me too.
You should
Clients, knock it off.
You should not tell your child without the other parent knowing you're going to tell the child. Both parents should know that this is about to happen. They should know that this announcement is being made, and both should be prepared to answer questions.
Do you ever do it with parents in therapy with children? Have you ever done that on occasion?
Other therapists may have. I actually have not.
Okay.
When my son's dad and I were divorced when he was six, and we did, in fact, sit down together with him, and the kinds of questions he asked us at that moment told us that it was actually not a complete surprise to him. And we did not argue in front of him. So
yeah.
I would have said he didn't know. He obviously had big suspicions. So being able to be calm and to let kids know you're going to be upset, you're going to be sad, you're going to be scared, all of that is okay. You can let us know what you need. We'll do our best to get through this together.
And this isn't the end of the topic, people. That's the other thing. As she stated, there's going to be questions later. So often I have clients, they're like, well, we told them, and that's the end of discussion. And then the court orders them not to talk about their divorce. And they take that too far where they can't speak at all, or they ignore it, as the case is often, and tell them every detail. Well, mama's going to be in court today. I'm going to get your dad, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And so, you don't make kids into spies. You don't ask kids who's over at mom's house at night. And you don't ask kids to talk about money. Because kids hate having to carry messages about the money part. That should go through your attorney.
Or checks
or
in their backpack. Grow up. Stop exchanging your kids at prisons, too. I cannot get over how many people exchange their kids at Par Boulevard. Like, that's the best they can come up with to solve
their parental
problems.
Well, and you know, for kids, that's traumatizing. And again,
you've got a future inmate.
If you can put yourself in your child's skin, truly, and look out through their eyes, you'll have a pretty good sense of what they can handle and what they can't.
I have learned the hard way that divorce is the center of the universe of narcissism. I learned this on September 11th when two twin towers fell, as we all remember, and I had the same number of calls at my office that day, and not one caller mentioned that there were towers falling in New York City. And that made me think, wow, it is really the center of the universe when you are going through divorce. So this is a really good point. You guys need to remember there are children and they need to be the center of your universe when you're going through divorce. You are second to them. The court will remind you of that harshly, trust me. But you need to remember it from a therapeutic standpoint, that as much as you're hurting, you don't need to show it to them. And you need to remember they're hurting more and they're more confused and they don't understand the process because they're
little. Quick addition.
Yeah, please.
They're going to know that you're hurting anyway. And in my opinion, you don't need to hide that from them. You can say, I'm sad. You can even say, I'm angry. You just don't offer the unnecessary details.
About why?
It is fair to say, I'm angry at your dad right now, but we're working on it.
Not because of his whore.
Because kids are going, no, Marilyn, we don't say that. Can we say that on the air?
Yeah, we can say that, I think. We just did. But if you guys have more questions, you can find Cheryl Irwin on Facebook as well. She is on every Tuesday morning on KUNR on her own radio show. And you can find her on Facebook, Parenting with Cheryl Irwin. And I will be linking my Facebook to hers so that you guys can find her easily. And we'll be on next week. And we have Skirted Issues coming on next, which is a new show. And it's a great one. So listen in for them. Next week, I'll be on her show first. And then she'll be on mine. We're going to do like a CSI back-to-back two-hour overlap. And she is our local dating guru and owns It's Just Lunch dating service. So she's got some great tips on how to make out and make some new partners out there. And I'm going to talk about how to get rid of the old one on the way to it.
So that's going to bring me new work, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. It should. And we may need to use you after we're on the air talking about it. Lastly, I had a question from one of our big fans, John Owens. And if you're listening, John, thanks for the question. He basically wanted to know if he still has a property from his prior marriage and it was in joint name. name, how to get it out of joint name. If it wasn't dealt with in the divorce, John, you need to file a motion, unfortunately. If she won't cooperate and sign a quitclaim deed, it wasn't adjudicated in your divorce, you probably need to file a motion in your old divorce 20 years back and ask the court to adjudicate the property and order her to sign a quitclaim and hopefully not pay her any money for it if it was a gift. The question indicates that it was a inheritance that he got from his grandmother. Fortunately, it's not worth much. So, motion. And thanks for listening. You're on the Marilyn York Show. We'll see you guys next week.